You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
That it is, my friends. That it is. 800-919-3776. We've got Giants and the Buccaneers coming up a little over an hour from now, and we have got you set to preview that football game. We will go live to Tampa in just a little bit. I am excited for that. We have got so much to get to with the Jets and why playing Zach Wilson is not necessarily the no-brainer right now that you might think that it is. And so much around the baseball. The Mets having to really make a decision, and a crucial one very, very quickly, and one that absolutely has to happen in terms of their pitching staff. We get to that and the Yankees and their shortstop situation. So much there for you, not even to mention the Knicks and why things just got a whole lot easier for tomorrow night. 800-919-3776. Carlin with you, my friends. Also on Twitter, it's at Chris Carlin. Also on the gram, as they say. That guy Carlin on TikTok as well. So, here we are, starting the night with the New York Giants going down to Tampa to take on the Buccaneers. I've gone so back and forth on this Giants season, just searching up and down, looking for ways to truly salvage a disastrous year so far. Through 9 games, 3-6, I'm sorry, that's disastrous. And I want to look at this optimistically. And so I am choosing to look at this optimistically. Tonight is an incredibly important game for Joe Judge. Why is that? Well, simply because if you're a really good head coach and you have found yourself in this position and you won your last time out by beating the Raiders and you've had 2 weeks to get ready for the Buccaneers. You want to believe that you have guys who are prepared for a challenge like this and are prepared to go and deliver a tremendous performance, a performance of their year, frankly. Because it's starting to be one of those times where you have to figure out who's going to be part of the solution, who's part of the problem, and who's part of the solution. Because at 3-6, with the schedule as it sits right now, believe it or not, this is actually salvageable. You have so many excitingly average teams, at best, that are right there in the mix to make the playoffs in the NFC. And there's no reason that after a couple of good weeks, the Giants can't find themselves very much in that mix. Think about it. If you win a game like tonight when nobody necessarily expects you to, and then you've got the remaining 7 games of Philadelphia, a trip to Miami, a trip to Los Angeles to face the Chargers, the Cowboys at home, at Philly again, at Chicago, Washington at home, this is not murderer's row. You win tonight, and you can actually start to talk about the playoffs when you look at the rest of the NFC. Think about all these teams outside the Rams that are vying for 2 wild card spots. And normally, when we talk about this kind of thing, we put that cautionary part on it, right? We put that disclaimer on it. Well, you've got so many teams vying for 2 spots. Why can't the Giants be one of these teams? Why can't the Giants be Philadelphia or Washington or Minnesota or the Saints or the Panthers or the Falcons or the 49ers? Do you look at a lot of those teams and say they have infinitely better talent than the Giants do? I don't think any of those teams really do have that much more talent than the Giants do. Saquon Barkley is coming back tonight. What is he It sounds like you're still going to see a lot of Devontae Booker this evening, but even with that being the case, even with getting Andrew Thomas back, the important thing is that they are returning and they are going to be part of what is potentially a great second half of the year. It's set up for them to do that. If Barkley is the guy that we have wrung our hands over during the last year and a half about how much time he's missed and about how much his presence has been missed with the development of the quarterback, then it would stand to reason that he could come back and at least have a very positive influence on what's happening. Andrew Thomas, earlier this year and later last year, was playing so much better than he was early in the season. So much better that he could come back and actually improve the tackle position, which between Peart and Nate Solder has been a disaster. You look at the Giants, they've really been pounded by two teams. And everybody else, they've relatively been in the game, and most times they've been close games. You win tonight. You win a couple in a row. You get some momentum going into a game with the Eagles this week at home. You can build something moving forward. You can show why the coach is actually somebody that you enjoy playing for and that motivates you and that actually gets you. To me, that's still very much a question right now. There are times where the Giants have looked like an incredibly poorly coached team with just bad fouls or bad penalties, bad pre-snap penalties, confusion, timeouts, all those kinds of things when they're taken. Both the Jets and Giants have not exactly distinguished themselves in that regard this season. They have looked like a poorly coached team. So are they? Are they a poorly coached team? We find out. Here's the worst thing that can happen. Don't go down there and get blown out tonight. And I know it's Brady, and I know it's the Bucs, and I know about all of that, okay? Don't go down there and get blown out tonight. That just sucks the life out of the team again, and you know you're sleepwalking your way to the end of the season. Because then you start to think about what the future is with decisions to be made. Then you start to think, well, if we win six games, are we truly keeping Joe Judge? And if so, aren't we just going to be back in this position next year? Because Joe Judge is going to be a coach with a team with a bad salary cap situation, and they're not going to be a whole lot better, and they're going to have a new general manager. When you look at all of that stuff, doesn't it tell you that you've got bigger problems? What do the Giants need to do tonight to win this game? How important is it for the Giants tonight to win this game in your estimation? Can this season be salvaged? Simple. Is this season salvageable? There's just no reason to think that it's not. But it's just all going to depend on how they play. And it starts tonight, obviously, in about an hour and change. 800-919-3776. It's Carlin with you on 98.7 ESPN. Let us hit the phones. You can also hit us up on Twitter. It's at Chris Carlin. By all means, do that. And on Instagram, TikTok, that guy Carlin. Let's go. David in Brooklyn starting us off tonight on the open lines. David, what's going on?
Hi, how are you, Chris? How you doing, man?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So my question is like this tonight. If the Giants somehow pull off a win against Tom Brady and the Bucs, and the Raiders go and the Raiders and Cowboys lose, and the Cowboys lose on Thursday night, and the Giants somehow beat the Eagles next week, do you think the Giants have a shot at stealing this division?
I don't think the Giants are stealing the division, okay? the Cowboys losing yesterday, I know, you know, it gets people excited. Understand something. The Cowboys right now have four more wins than you. Do you think that you're easily going to make that up? The answer is no. They're not winning the division. The Giants' season is salvageable by trying to grab one of those last two playoff spots.
Even with the Cowboys' injuries?
I don't think the Cowboys are going in the tank here. I really don't. I don't think it's going to completely fall apart on them. Is Dak still playing? Then I'm okay.
Yeah, Dak is still playing, but Dak, did you see Dak last night without his two top receivers? I mean,
no, listen, I understand. I understand it didn't look pretty. I still think they have opened up a wide enough lead against an excitingly average division that they're not going to blow this lead. I don't see that. All right, David, good talk. We'll see you out there. Thanks for the call. 800-919-3776. Chris is in Long Island. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Chris? So your question is the season salvageable?
Right.
And the response is no, and the reason is two words. Daniel Jones. He was a loser at Duke. He's been a loser his first 3 years in the pros, and the Giants are going nowhere with this guy. They're deluding themselves, Giants fans, if they think otherwise. They're in last place, so I know we got to talk about the Giants. It's Monday night. I get it. They're going nowhere.
But look at
what are we looking
at?
Best case scenario, 7-10.
No, but look at how bad the rest of the NFC is, and look at what their schedule looks like. Is there reason to think that they could actually put together a stretch of games if Jones? And there are a lot of ifs here, Chris. I'm not going to sit here and try to convince you otherwise. Okay. I'm trying to look at this from an optimistic standpoint, even though I totally get where you're coming from. It's an incredibly difficult thing to sit here and say they're going to make the playoffs. I just want to know, to me, salvageable right now just looks like making it more interesting and getting a chance at potentially making the playoffs.
Well, what I think is going to happen is that that's probably going to be like a 7-10 type situation, which is the worst possible thing for a team without a lot of salary cap space. So they get a middle first round pick. Gettleman screws it up again, and around you go. I mean,
well, Gettleman's not going to be making the pick next year if they're 7-10. Gettleman's not going to be making the pick next year, no matter what. I think even if the Giants make the playoffs, Gettleman's going to be gone.
But if Gettleman's gone, then Judge is gone. They're going to saddle a new GM with the old coach. I mean, we saw how that worked with the Jets.
I would not count on that, my friend. I would not count on Judge being gone if Gettleman's gone. I think there is a major difference between the two.
What GM wants to come in and be handed another coach? It's the backwards way of doing it. The Jets did it
I don't disagree. I would rather clean house altogether myself, but Chris, I don't see that happening. Thanks for the call. Here's what I see happening. I mean, it's a pretty easy formula to recognize here. The Giants going and winning six games, then firing Gettleman, but keeping Joe Judge because they're tired of firing coaches every couple of years, because at some point you have to start to build a little bit of momentum with a coach going forward. And you can't just be changing coaches every 2 or 3 years, which is absolutely not what the Giants want to be doing. Nowhere near what they want to be doing. The only way that Joe Judge is going to be out is if this is a 3-win team. Otherwise, I fully believe he'll be back, and they will be back in this same position next year. And what's worse about that is simply this. Think about this for a second. You're going to have a disaster of a look at your salary cap situation. I mean, it's a mess. It is an absolute mess. And it's going to take a couple of years to clean up. Thanks, Dave. Dave trying to save things and trying to save his job, and it's not working. Kenny Golladay has been what exactly? And it wasn't hard to see when nobody else wanted to give him that kind of money. There was an obvious reason as to why nobody else wanted to give him that kind of money. They didn't trust him to be able to stay healthy enough to justify it. So think about that. You'll be here next year with the coach, basically in a lame duck situation, with a new GM who's going to want to tear it down, considering what it looks like. You're going to be waiting another 3 or 4 years to really get back to a good spot. And basically, you'll be where the Jets were last year. Think about all of that. Is that what you're looking for? I don't think it is. But is there something salvageable out of this? That's what I want to know. Is Joe Judge actually a coach that can salvage this? There are so many damn unanswered questions about this team, about the quarterback, about the coach, about who's part of the solution and who's part of the problem. Paul, Rochester, New York, up next on the open lines, 800-919-3776. Paulie, what do you got, bud?
How are you doing, Chris?
Good, I'm good. How are you, bud?
Not bad. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think this season is salvageable, and it's for, I think, a couple reasons. Number one, Gettleman's inability to get an offensive line. I mean, he's had a lot of chances, and he has not done his job in getting an offensive line to protect Daniel Jones.
No,
and number
he has
two,
not.
I think it was the hiring of Jason Garrett. If you take a look at Dallas and their offense now, which is number one in the league, I think I still believe. And when he was there, they underperformed. So his play calling is just vanilla. It's basic. There's really not much to it. It's conservative. And I don't know who hired him as an OC. Is that a GM or is that the head coach?
I think that when Joe Judge took the job, ownership wanted to hire Jason Garrett as the offensive coordinator. I'm not going to sit here and say that they demanded that he hire him, but I'm going to say that they encouraged him in that direction. And given what he had done with Dak Prescott, that's what they were thinking about.
I mean, what did he do with Dak Prescott? I mean,
well, he helped develop Dak Prescott. He helped develop Dak Prescott. I mean, that's just fact. He did. But we can't blame him for everything and not give him credit when things actually went well.
Yeah, I can see that, but the team never went anywhere. They didn't really do anything as far as leading the league offensively. I mean, the play calling was still basic. I mean, it's just he's not setting Daniel Jones up for success with no offensive line help. I mean, and Daniel Jones is still making rookie mistakes. The game versus Kansas City, when he threw, Giants got a big turnover, and first play, he throws it right to the linebacker. I mean, that's a rookie first-year guy mistake, and he's still making mistakes like that. He's not doing his job.
Hey, Paul, I'm not going to lie. I'm very skeptical when it comes to Daniel Jones. I'm very skeptical. Thanks for the call. I'm annoyed by the fact that we can't answer that question. You know, and I'm even somebody that is sympathetic to the plight of the young quarterback these days in the NFL because it is so different in how quickly they have to become a franchise quarterback. Some of them are capable of doing it right away, but it's so few and far between. Not everybody is Justin Herbert. They're just not. You know, you think that Fields is going to be somebody right away that's going to be helpful to the Bears. He's banged up right now. But more often than not, you have to go through these growing pains. You have to deal with them. You have to find ways to navigate through them and give these guys a chance. But this has been 2.5 years now for Daniel Jones. So why would I personally think that it's going to get better when, yes, a lot of those same mistakes get made? Well, so many of us want to point to what he does not have. He does not have an offensive line. He has not had Saquon Barkley. He has not had his full complement of receivers. He has to play with Evan Engram, which can be a detriment quite often. There is so much to blame other than Daniel Jones himself on why they haven't been able to develop him and why he's still making the same mistakes. Well, I do believe that there is credence in some of those reasons. But at some point, as the quarterback, when the personnel isn't changing and the response there isn't changing from the personnel, you have to take some of that on your own. And when you make those similar kind of throws, it's an absolute killer. Hit the Twitter. Ask the question, is the Giants season salvageable? 800-919-3776. Oh, Dale Doback of Step Brothers Film says, no, it is not salvageable. Let's see. Dempsey Combs says, only with a win tonight, big fella. Pleasantly responds, ha ha, that's a good one. Will Spinelli on Twitter, I hope not. Noble 275, nuh-uh. Let's see. Rob Gavin, at Gavin Comedy. I think they're going to get beat badly tonight. Brady doesn't lose three in a row. National TV, this could be a rout. AJ Bisardi, no chance, right, Chris? Joel Kaplan, no. David Imondi, no. Sarah McCrory, who does all the podcasts over at The Post, she is optimistic and says yes. So there you go. It is mostly a negative feel to the Giants salvaging this season. 800-919-3776. And Excess in Moderation checks in with, what are you salvaging with the Giants if they win? The satisfaction of being the best in a bad division? Moving down the draft board? How does a wild card help long term? It extends the life of the quarterback and GM. That's trading the short term for more long-term pain. I'll be the first to tell you, I don't think it matters if the Giants make the playoffs or not. Dave Gettleman's not coming back. I truly don't believe he is. There is no chance he's going to be the GM next year. I don't buy it for a second, even if they snuck in to that last playoff spot. No chance. They understand where they are and what's gone on over the last several years and why striving to get to the seventh spot in large part is his fault, and that's not good enough. Russell in New York is up next, 98.7 ESPN. Russell, what's up, baby?
Hey, man, how's it going, man?
Oh, you know, we keeping it thorough up in the borough. What do you got?
Man, listen, I want to say they should clean house all the way from top to bottom. I don't understand these new tactics where you keep the GM and then keep the head coach. It don't make sense. Clean house.
Look, I get it, and I think it's the right way to do things, and I hate the fact that they're going to be going through it as much as they do of firing a coach yet again after just a couple of years, and that's why I don't expect it to happen. I don't say it's – I agree with you. It's the right thing to do just to wipe the whole slate clean. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, my whole thing is this. We are doing the whole – new entire football type of thing going on. It's microwave football. You get two, three years at most. I mean, if you don't make some type of improvement, and see you later. So, I mean, now we got a new GM. The GM's got to be comfortable with the coaching. If them two's not getting along, we're just going to have another 8 years of debacle. That's just what I'm saying.
I get it. Thanks for the call. Look, you need to get it straightened out at some point. It needs to get better at some point. And it's frustrating when you watch the same things that have consistently been problems remain problems. Doug, Long Island, next. Doug, what's up, buddy? How are you tonight?
Hey, Chris. How are you, sir?
Good. How you doing?
Good, good. I understand everyone with the whole scale changes. I'm not sure if the Giants should just rip everything apart. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not a football expert. And I get it with the gentleman who talked about quarterbacks and Daniel Jones. Guys take time to develop. some guys come into the league like in basketball, for example. Some guys come into the league like Ja Morant, bam, right away. Some guys slide in and they're still great, like Kawhi Leonard. They're you know, who was good immediately. But, I mean, it's very difficult, Chris. And I just want to say this anecdotally for all your fans, because you have countless. The Giants will have a shakeup. I know that personally. And second of all, I'm friends with Ed Reed, and, you know, once we were either in Philly or Baltimore somewhere, don't get me lying on national radio, but I'm just saying we were with someone, and a guy made a sandwich for him, and the guy proceeded to tell him, "You guys suck. You're terrible. You're horrible." And, you know, we got in the car, in the truck, we're driving off. He's eating the sandwich. He said, "Novi, this is the worst effing sandwich I've ever tasted in my life. I should turn around." And I said, "No, you don't. You don't turn around." But I mean, so, you know, be careful, but understand it's great engagement, great entertainment, but be surgical like you are and analytical with some things. These guys are working hard, their jobs. I know people have to go, but it's not just add water, because you'll be yelling at the new Giants regime if they're not in playoffs in the first 24 months.
No, but that's the thing, and thanks for the call, Doug. It's if, in fact, you are going to wipe the slate clean, as we say, understand that the next guys through have to get 3 to 4 years. Have to. If they don't, you're just going to end up continuing in the exact same rut. You have to give them time. Now, if we're going to look at this fairly, I mean, Dave Gettleman's been given some time. You want to argue that Joe Judge hasn't? That's fair. But if you end up in a spot where I think we can agree the talent on this team is not awful, and you're going to find that somehow this team ends up being a 2 or 3 win team again, that's where the argument is to be made about the head coach. At least where it should happen. I don't think it will unless that's the case. Little known fact, I once had a pepper steak at Raymond James Stadium that made me sick as a dog. With that in mind, we head there right now to welcome in Jordan Ronan as the Giants face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tonight. Jordan, how goes the battle?
It's going well. Wait, what did you just say? I kind of caught the end of that.
I would say roughly 12 years ago, I had a pepper steak at Raymond James Stadium that made me about as sick as a dog in the media room.
It's funny you say that, because I was just telling him that I had a brat a couple of years ago that I think I missed part of a good chunk of the second quarter.
Was that at Raymond James Stadium, or was it somewhere else?
It was, but I was just eating here. The food's pretty good right now. I was impressed.
All right, well, call me back in an hour, and we'll see.
I'll let you know in by halftime.
Exactly. All right, Jordan, I've been asking this question tonight. I will ask you. Is the Giants season salvageable?
I think if it's salvageable, they have to win this game. And you can't be 3-7 and salvage the season, right? I mean, 9-8, you want to pretend like, okay, if you're 9-8, they probably could make the playoffs, right? And that's, but you lose this game, I mean, you're talking about what, going 6-1 in the final seven? That's not really realistic for this team. I don't think so. Unless you think much more highly than I do. If it is, I think it would mean winning today. Otherwise, you know, they're kind of just playing out the string. They'll win some games. They'll be better. They're healthier. The schedule's a little bit easier. But, you know, they wanted to be competitive for the playoffs this year. That was the goal. They spent a lot of money to do it. And unless they win this game, honestly, I don't see them being a real contender for the playoffs at all. So, yeah, to me, that's the only path there is. And that's a big task. I mean, you're asking Tom Brady to lose for the third time in a row, for the first time since 2002, on the road, in Tampa, pulling off a win. Man, that's a tough ask.
Jordan, these are just some basic questions, but it's midway through the season, and I think that they're appropriate for the moment. What do you look at as the big? What do you look at as the biggest thing that is keeping the Giants from being more competitive this year?
It was a combination to me of the offensive line is just not good enough, and then the weapons were injured. So, like, you know, where they score plays. But, I mean, actually it flipped because early in the season it was the defense was a mess. They couldn't stop anybody, right? I mean, they could have the offense could have been totally healthy against Dallas and the Rams, and they got blown out of those games. They had no chance to stop those teams. So, I mean, it's been a little bit of everything this year, but right now I think it goes back to what it's been for, you know, pretty much the past 8 years in the offensive line. I mean, is it good enough for them to protect Daniel Jones and to sustain consistent offense? I mean, you need something, and it's really been tough.
Okay, what's realistic here for Saquon Barkley, Jordan? What are we expecting? He's returning tonight.
Well, we have to remember, he hasn't played in 6 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't just go back in there and say he's going to come back and be, you know, Saquon Barkley from 2018. That's not really realistic, is it? And Devontae Booker has played well. So I think realistic is he's probably going to split time. And maybe he's on the right side of a 60-40 split. You're hoping to maybe get a few big plays here or there out of him, use that explosion, hope to, you know, make something in the passing game. Because if you're talking about a game for him to come back and be successful on the ground, this is not it, Chris. This is not it.
No Vita Vea.
You haven't. Yeah, you just don't. They're not going to be overly successful running the ball against this Tampa Bay team. This Tampa Bay team is second in the NFL in rush defense. Vita Vea is great. Don't get me wrong, and that'll hurt. But they're not all of a sudden. I would be surprised if all of a sudden the Giants, who have not really run the ball consistently this year, are going to start pounding the ball down Tampa's throat. So. Tough ask.
Jordan Ronan joining us from down in Tampa. Giants and the Buccaneers coming up next hour and a little Monday Night Football. Jordan, this may just be an unfair question, but I feel like at this point there are too many questions as opposed to answers when it comes to the Giants organization. And it's simply this. Do we know yet if Joe Judge is a good coach or not?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair question. I mean, there could be some things that you like, I think, and there's some things that you don't like. But the bottom line is the record is what the record is, right? They went 6-10 last year. They right now are 3-6 this year. So, I mean, that's what he is. I mean, there's been some questions. So, I don't think we know that. I think the Giants know, as an organization, they like the way he operates. They like the way he commands the locker room. They like the way he communicates. So there's reasons for them to believe and for Giants fans maybe to buy into it that he can be a good head coach and he will eventually be a good head coach. But right now, I think we're still sitting here. It's kind of like the Daniel Jones thing that we've talked about for, you know, 2+ years now. Well, we see all these things that you like, but now we got to see it on the field, right?
I think
that kind of holds true with Joe Judge as well. But I mean, he's not going anywhere. I know people want to be like, is Joe Judge going to do that? He's not going anywhere. They're not turning over the coach again next year unless something crazy happens here late in the season. I mean, the Giants organization is going – they hired a 38-year-old head coach. They're going to let this play out. They're going to give it time, you know, for him to grow into that role and for this team to grow and build this team with him there. They're not going to make a change this year. They don't want to be the team that's stuck in the cycle – of switching head coaches every 2 years. Like, that's pretty small sample size to give a guy 2 years. I mean, you know that John Mara has even been on record saying this, that he thinks one of his mistakes has been that he thought he pulled the plug, and I know people are going to go, they don't like to hear this, but he thought he pulled the plug too early on Ben McAdoo. Like, they gave him 1 year. 1 year, he was really good. Right, and the next year, it fell apart, and he never even got a chance to kind of fix it, and they just moved on from there. Next time, Pat Shurmur, 2 years, move on again. Like, they don't want to be in the situation where they're moving on again after 2 years with Joe Judge. So I'd be stunned. Something crazy would have to happen here in these next 2 months.
And it's understandable because the teams that are good don't do that. And they have never wanted to do that. But let's talk about tonight, Jordan. Lay out what it looks like to for the Giants to actually win this game this evening.
The offense looks good, right? All of a sudden,
you're doing a hell of a job of selling that.
Saquon Barkley's back. Okay, Saquon Barkley's back. He's explosive. He has 6 weeks to get healthy. He can make big plays. Kenny Galladay, healthiest he's been since week four. By the way, when the Giants were healthy in week four, the healthiest they've been this year, which, you know, this is probably the second healthiest they've been, 485 yards of total offense in New Orleans, a good road win. So they need to score points. I mean, Tampa averages 40.5 points per game at home this year. You know, they're playing Tom Brady. In order to win this game, they're going to have to score in the 30s, which, to be quite honest, is a lot, because go look at the last time they scored 30. I think it's been once since Jason Garrett's been the offensive coordinator. But that's the path. You know, big plays, offense, use their weapons, and then do enough to confuse Tom Brady, kind of like they did last year. They should have beat the Bucs. They played him on Monday night. It was in New Jersey, but they should have beat this Bucs team with Tom Brady. They did enough to confuse him, but this time they're going to have to score some points.
Jordan, how much do you tip a chamber maid when you're on the road?
We were talking about this the other day. It's an interesting concept. Do you still go and, like, you don't have anyone come? They don't even come clean your room, right? You're there for 2 days. And they don't, you know,
I think it depends on the hotel, and it depends on how that plays out. But I don't even, just the mere thought of somebody having to clean up, period, after the disgusting presence that I can be, I want to tip them well. But what is defined as well these days?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. We were talking about the other day. Do most people even tip in the hotel for the person when they're not even actually cleaning your room while they're there? They're just turning it over when you're done. I'd say the answer is probably no. I think most people don't.
And I think that's wrong.
Is $10 a day good?
I think $10 a day is very good. I think $10 a day is very good.
If you do that, you're well received, I think.
Yeah.
$5. $5 a day. What do you think?
It used to be there, but I don't know what's appropriate anymore. Times have changed over the last few years, and you know, the people are working hard, but you're right. They're not cleaning the room as much, but I do think that the collective mess that I can cause over a few days of, you know, you've got bed sheets all over the place because I'm a very restless sleeper. You know, I've got towels everywhere. I pick them up as much as I can. I don't just leave them akimbo, but I feel like I owe them something here.
But here's the deal. Ready? So they don't actually clean your room while you're there. You're there for, let's say, 2 days. That's what you're pretty much doing on these football trips, right?
Right.
You get there. I get there on, let's say, a normal Sunday game. I get there on Saturday afternoon. I'm out by Monday morning. Like, I think and they never come in the room while I'm, you know, until I check out. Mm. Is $5 a day fair enough? I mean, it's not like they're coming in and cleaning the room. It's definitely, I don't know. I'm not totally against it. I think if you do 10, though, you're much more well-received, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I err on the side of over-tipping, but that's just because, you know, I don't know.
You sound like a filthy person, by the way. I mean, you're talking about yourself like you're just leaving filth all over the place.
No, I'm not leaving filth all over the place, but I'm not.
Are there like empty bags of chips that you leave on the counter, like you don't even throw it in the garbage can or stuff like that?
No. I don't do that. I throw my chips in the garbage can or my empty bags in the garbage can. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. I want to be courteous, but I was really thinking about this the other night, and I didn't have a great answer. Anyway, good talk. Enjoy tonight.
Truth serum, if we do truth serum on people, I bet you more people don't leave money than do.
I have talked to people who really don't think that that's part of it or hadn't even considered it before. And now are thinking,
I think it's a rarity.
Yeah, now I've insulted hundreds of cleaning crews, you know? And yeah, I don't know.
Well, add them to the list of people who are going to protest your show, all right? The list is getting long.
Jordan, if I'm not ticking somebody off, I'm not doing it right.
Go enjoy the game. It should be a fun game to watch.
We'll see.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Rapid fire and as many giant calls as we can get in before kickoff at 800-919-3776. We get to why Zach Wilson does not necessarily have to play in the next few games in just moments. Right now, Jim is in Madison. He is up next on 98.7 ESPN. Jim, what's up, brother?
Mr. Carlin, thank you so much for taking my call. You know, a lot of people always talk about, you know, the NFL has completely changed and it's all about the offense, throwing downfield, you know, the rules are all bent that way. And that's, you know, very true. But to me, the game is still completely won and lost up front on the line of scrimmage. You need a good offensive line and a good defensive line. And everything behind that will work better because of it. And the Giants just, you know, have not been able to do that. Not only do they whiff on their offensive line picks, but then they try to fix it by bringing in, you know, well, bring in Kenny Galladay, an oft-injured huge contract, you know, or Kadarius Toney, who seems to be pretty decent, and it looks like, you know, they got another first-round pick trading down there, but they also passed up on the pretty good Northwestern kid on the line. I mean, I know it's boring, but you have to have a solid line on both sides of the ball. Football is still won and lost up front, and the Giants just cannot, for whatever reason, I don't know why, cannot get that right these days.
Listen, I don't disagree with you for 1 minute. Not for 1 minute. You're 100% accurate. It is absolutely won up front, and they have not gotten the lines right in quite some time. The only thing that Gettleman has really done to get the defensive line better is Leonard Williams. Dexter Lawrence isn't a bad player. He's a decent player. No. I thought he was going to be better than he has been. And if we're going to talk about the draft, yeah, Kadarius Toney's great. Anybody looking at what Micah Parsons is doing? I mean, the guy has been absolutely ripping it apart, and the Giants could have taken him. Yes, they got an extra first-round pick for this coming year, but if you have a difference-making player like that, I mean, I think it's awfully tough to justify not taking him there when you, of course, we can't project that he's going to be able to be what he has been so far, but it hurts when the guy has been this productive. And as far as the offensive line, I mean, look, Andrew Thomas is a maybe. That's about the best thing I can say about the offensive line right now.
That's right. And I mean, I know it's not fun or it's not sexy, but you have to build guys there because the Giants, I think the longest tenured guy on the Giants is Sterling Shepard. They don't have any linemen that have been in there for 10 years that build the culture of the team. And what they decide to do is bring in mercenaries to kind of fill in the gaps who might work for a year and don't work the next year. And then they're looking for the next contract. They don't build any, like, you know, base, like homegrown linemen, which, and of course I'm a former lineman in high school, but this is what you need to build your team around is the offensive and defensive line. And then everything behind those guys will work better because of it. I don't know why the Giants don't get that. And then they, you know, they bring in these guys.
They drafted Will Hernandez. Gaps,
and then they're gone. Yeah, he's been okay, but, you know, I don't know.
Starting job this year at the beginning of the year, thanks to the call. That's a problem. That's a problem. He's been nowhere near what they would have expected. Jim's in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Next, 98.7 ESPN. Jim, what's going on?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm a Pittsburgh fan, but still I have to follow the Giants because I'm in Elizabeth. And
Jim,
let's
talk about the Steelers for one sec, Jim. I am also a Steelers fan. You want to get on me for something? Here you go. I'm going to admit something that I should never admit, but here it is. I went to bed at 27:10 last night.
Yeah.
Not
wow.
Good.
Great Not game, good. Though. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Anyway,
being a Pittsburgh fan, I've ever since I've been a kid. My mom's a Pittsburgh fan. My sister and my dad were Dallas fans, so we had great years growing up. And we've had a winning, I've had a winning career with them. So I'm very happy with Pittsburgh, and I'm going to support Ben all the way. He could come out there limping or whatever. I'm still going to support him regardless. He's brought us a lot.
Well, I don't. Okay. I'm not a Ben guy.
Ben, what's that?
I'm not a Ben guy. I'm really not.
Wow.
And it, I'm wow. really not because of the stupidity and the things that he did off the field early in his career. I wanted to so desperately. I had his jersey. I wanted him so desperately to be my guy for 15 years. But when all that happened, I got rid of the jersey. And now I'm mad at him for holding the team up. Like, that's what he's doing. He wants to play again next year. I mean, they can't bring him back again. Anyway, he's won two Super Bowls.
You had
so.
The game was a beautiful game last night. It was a really – it was a great weekend of football this weekend. So it's a nice season. But as far as the Giants, to be just giving up on their quarterback like that and the coach and stuff like that, there's a lot of people on that team that they looked forward to them doing something. Galloway, he really hasn't produced that well, I don't think, for what they predicted him to do. Not a lot of people have, but a quarterback is one of the main positions that could easily be headhunted. And give them a couple years. If you start fresh, you're going to have to give that same quarterback. You're going to have to give the same coach. You're going to have – it's a time-consuming thing, but
– that's what we forget. Everybody that wants to start fresh, understand that that's what you're actually doing. You are starting fresh. You are starting from the ground up, and it's going to get worse before it gets better because they've got a disaster of a salary cap situation, and nobody wants to hear that because they've been losing for so long, but – it's just absolutely true.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And you know what? You enjoy the games for what you have and not for what you hope you have. You got to work with what you have first and then deal with it then. But you got to – there's so many mixed pieces. Barkley, he didn't come out to what they wanted him to be. But I thought he was going to be a phenomenal player. But he's just not – he's not there yet. And you need a lot more than just one running back.
He hasn't been on the field, Jim. Thanks for the call. I don't know what he is. It was great that first year. Not as good the second year, banged up. And then we all know what happened. So I don't know what he is. I don't know if he's going to get back to being what he was that first year. I want to believe so, but it's far from a lock that that's going
to
happen.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.